And so Lysander's abilities to undermine the Spartan system were probably pretty limited all the time, and the Spartans knew their Lysander quite well. As soon as the victory of Athens was won, he was moved to the side where he belonged. If he behaved himself and was really good at age 60, he might get elected to the Gerasia. So all of these images of a Spartan bitter defeat are somewhat overdrawn. And then I should make one final point, and that is the Spartans were willing to fight for the freedom of the Greeks. And that was a significant point for the Ionian Greeks. To be sure, the Spartans cut some cynical deals with the Persians to get Persian money. But in 404-403 BC, the majority of Spartans really did not want to turn the Ionian cities back over to the great king of Persia. And they particularly did not like these arrangements where the Ionians would maybe pay tribute to the Persians, but they were technically free. The majority of the Spartans probably felt they had sworn oaths, they had given their word to the Milesian and the other rebels, and they had to deliver. Well, fortunately, they had in Cyrus the Younger, a man whom the Spartan authorities could manipulate, direct, and support to allow the Spartans to fulfill their obligations to their Ionian allies. As I mentioned, Cyrus the Younger was not interested in hanging around in Sardis. He saw Susa as his capital. And already in 403 BC, as Cyrus's patron Lysander was passing from the political scene, Cyrus was taking every measure to recruit forces for a bid for the Persian throne. He was assisted by two facts. One was his father's illness was quite long, and no one was quite sure when he was going to pass away. And when he did, probably sometime in 404 BC, the situation in Susa was politically unclear. Furthermore, in 405 BC, the Egyptians revolted. And this rebellion was serious. The entire Nile Valley seceded under Dynasty 28, and the Persians were not to control Egypt again until 343 BC. And so almost for two generations, the Persians lost control of the Nile Valley. And that was a major deal. And the great king, first Darius II in his final months, and then the brother of Cyrus, Artaxerxes, were expending all their efforts to bring Egypt back under control. So in the early spring of 401 BC, Cyrus was ready to move. He had hired over 13,000 Greek hoplites, most of them veterans from the Peloponnesian War. These were different contingents. Half of them came from Arcadia and Achaea in the Peloponnesus. The best contingent was commanded by a man named Clearchus, who was a Spartan, who had served at the Battle of Arginusae, was a veteran Spartan officer in the Hellespont. There were Thebans and Thessalians. And with this force, plus the native contingents in Asia Minor, Cyrus carried out a daring march across Asia Minor, crossed the Euphrates, and headed for Babylon with the intention of taking the throne. His brother Artaxerxes hastily assembled an army. And sometime in September of 401 BC, these two armies came together in a great battle known as Cunuxa. And at that battle, the Greeks formed the right wing of Cyrus's army and delivered an absolutely invincible shock attack in classic hoplite, probably Spartan fashion. Cyrus commanded the center, and then his left comprised the Persian and Anatolian levies. Cyrus's army was probably about 35,000. His brother's army may have been 50,000. The Greeks gave Cyrus the decisive edge. They carried the battle. Unfortunately, Cyrus got killed. He got a little anxious when he saw his brother in the opposing line and charged at him with his bodyguard, got surrounded and killed. And Cyrus was in such haste, he did not wear his helmet or all of his body armor. He was cut down. And therefore, we were in a very strange situation where the Greeks won the battle and lost their paymaster. Artaxerxes was still king, but his army was scattered all over Mesopotamia. Artaxerxes lured the Greek commanders into a dinner party to parley, and unfortunately, these generals could not read Machiavelli in advance because it hadn't been written. They were all seized and executed, and Artaxerxes demanded that the Greeks surrendered. The mercenaries simply elected new commanders, including Xenophon, the Athenian philosopher and historian, who was a friend of King Agesilaus of Sparta, and they marched out of the Persian Empire. In a great, spectacular retreat known as the Anabasis, the March Up Country, and these 10,000 Greek mercenaries reached the city of Trapezus by 400 BC and eventually made it back to the Aegean world. Well, that event had several consequences.